Okay, welcome to Notcast, episode 132, just as planned.
Yes.
Hooray.
Well, hey, everyone's here this week. Cowabunga. So that's always good.
Not sick, not in Louisiana.
Not Stabsville.
Not at a convention.
Fuck Louisiana. I hate that goddamn place. I don't mind Arkansas or Tennessee or even Oklahoma, but I hate Louisiana. So anyway, I'm Recky.
I'm Fuzzwolf.
I'm Saverin.
I'm confused.
No, confused is a friend of mine who doesn't live here.
Well, you're a woman.
I'm Shiva.
I got the glare.
First misogyny point of the night goes to Recky.
Ding, ding, ding.
Got tired.
Did not try to outdo him.
No.
Don't outdo Charlie Sheen?
Yeah. No, you.
We should have called this episode By Winning.
Yes. Well, if he's still relevant by next week, maybe we can call it that then.
Well, if he just takes a hint from Lindsay Lohan, he'll never go away.
Okay, so let's do this right quick. This little idea that I had. Okay, so I installed Droidlibs on my phone.
So this is going to go nowhere good fast.
Right, okay, so name of person in room.
Saverin.
Okay. You guys
have to
jump,
say my name.
Jump in quick with this here. Plural noun.
Dicks.
Yeah. Another plural noun.
Penises.
Balls. Balls. Okay. Adjective.
Shiny.
Wait, what?
I said shiny.
Shiny. Okay. Because I did Recky's last, so I'll do that. Another adjective. What was yours?
Purple, he said.
No, so I didn't say purple.
I said purple.
Okay. When we use purple. A year.
1969.
God damn it.
Summer of 69. Animal.
Sheppy Koopa.
Okay. Emotion.
Aroused.
Oh, I don't like where this is going now.
Adverb.
Shit, I can't think of anything. You do it.
You haven't put anything in.
Yeah, you haven't put anything in.
God, I mean...
And this is where all the English people go, oh my god, he said the wrong thing.
Stupidly. Article of clothing, panties.
I really don't like what this is going.
Another plural noun.
Boobs.
Boobs. Okay. A verb ending in ing.
Fucking.
Fucking. Yeah, I knew that was going to happen.
I'm glad we're on the same wavelength.
Make my droid live. Okay, so the title of this one is The Little Puppy That Never Gave Up.
Fuck.
Okay. Once upon a time, there was a little puppy named Saverin. He hated dicks, but he loved balls, as long as they were shiny, of course. Therefore, you could say this little puppy was purple. It was the year 1969, the year of the Sheppy Koopa. So the puppy was aroused. He stupidly put on his panties and hit the boobs. And he never gave up fucking.
That was terrible.
Save.
We are all dumber for having heard that now.
Well, we are triple dumb for having made it.
I know, yes. Right? So we should still, you know, read some emails.
Is this where we just have our listeners send a random list of nouns, verbs, and adjectives?
Oh, God. No.
No. No. We won't do it on the air next week because it wastes time. But next week before we... Well, the next time we all record, we'll fill one in. And then I'll read it on the air.
Because that's just, you know, too good to pass up.
Yeah. Well, that was fun. So, you know, we didn't record last week. So, no. Do we want to talk about Furry Fiesta? We need to give a con report.
Sure. We can do that a bit.
Okay. So there was this convention.
So there's a convention we're all kind of involved on.
Mm-hmm.
Except for me. You, Recky. You slacker.
Sorry, I wanted to see my friends.
Oh, he's like, I'm sorry. I went to enjoy the con.
Yeah, actually, yes.
Well,
I enjoyed the con too.
By the way, we don't like Tilton Raccoon anymore.
Well, why?
He just tweeted and said Digimon was better than Pokemon, and we all know that's not true. So
he's just trying to curry the favor of Dragonair.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Who tweeted a very amusing rumor that he was informed of? Somebody was spreading the rumor that Dragonair was trying to sue Digimon, saying that he created Digimon.
Trying to sue Bandai.
Yes, yes. I couldn't remember what he was coming to. Okay. He's like, how the fuck did these things get started?
It's that fucking Alan again. So he was the one that said it, because they actually posted a link to the Ink Bunny.
Oh, seriously? Oh, yeah. Okay.
Oh, my God. Really? I mean, at least try to be, you know, creative and realistic at the same time.
Yeah, it's dumb shit. So I spent most of the con in my cave playing video games, or at least having video games played around me.
Yeah.
So I unfortunately did not have any assistance this year, so I had to basically keep an eye on the electronics and stuff. And
thank you, by the way, for keeping an eye on my Wii.
Thank you for not letting them steal my TV or break it or like
cool it. Having your TV and playing Marvel vs. Capcom 3 all weekend, that was fun.
Mm-hmm. And I was a dick and didn't let you guys borrow my PS3.
It's okay. It has no games.
except for the ones I have that are exclusive to it that I love the hell out of.
Yeah, but you don't have anything multiplayer.
Yeah, I think that's the big deal at cons.
You know what multiplayer game I play? Wow.
Yeah. Well, some dude did bring his PS3 that had, like, 590 Rock Band songs on it, and he had a really nice pro setup.
Ooh, that's
and
cool.
I heard Sweet Child of Mine and all the Queen songs, like, a million times over the weekend. People playing Avenged Sevenfold a lot.
That was playing in that little tiny room? People playing Rock Band in there?
Yeah. We had really effective use of space.
Nice. Well played, sir.
Yes. We actually had a Kinect in there, too. And we had some people that could really dance. There was this really tall, blonde, lanky dude that just really had his stuff down. And, of course, he was dancing to, like, Lady Gaga, so, you know.
Yeah.
But we did have a couple of fursuiters that were actually really good. They weren't black fursuiters, so they could actually see them. Now, I say this specifically because if you have a black fursuit, the color will absorb the infrared.
Oh. Okay.
And it can't see you.
Ah.
I wondered where the fuck you were going.
No, because I've seen it with, like, there is a local fur who has a black fursuit, except for, like, tips on its hands and ears. And it thinks that the tips of the ears are the top of his head, so he's, like, 8.5 feet tall, which makes it impossible to play the game.
That's a big motherfucker.
Yeah. So the fursuiters, that, as long as they're not, they're any other color but black, they can play it pretty well.
Cool.
So, I mean, it was really successful. People had a lot of fun. You know, got to immerse myself in Vigigame.
Cool. I had a good time. Fur Planet actually did really well in the dealer's room. So yay. The dealer's room was really hopping this year. Yeah.
It's good you made up all the shipping costs, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it was really good because we had we were effectively like four or five dealers in one, because we had Rabbit Valley stock, Sofa Wolf, Club Stripes, Bad Dog Books, Anthro Dreams, and my Fur Planet stuff. So wow, that's six different vendors right there, and some Dark Horse stuff because we had Black Sad and Granville. But God, we had Kyle was signing like two or three times. Phil Goish was signing, and Rikoshi was signing also. So we had all these little. I hadn't intended to have that many all at once, but it just kind of worked out. We had authors signing all weekend, and that ended up being quite a good draw to the table.
I got Kyle to sign my copy of Isolation Play. I was happy.
Sweet.
Wag.
Actually, have I? Oh, I was trying to remember if I'd gotten him to sign mine, and I was like, no, I pre-ordered a hardcover, so he'd already.
Yes, you had
already signed it.
Like for the massive kill a child by dropping it on them.
Yeah, we had some of those too. Oh, actually, if you guys don't mind me segueing into another convention for a moment here, because I won't be on next week's show. This is my only opportunity to talk about this. So I'll be at FWA next weekend. Fwah. So I'll have two tables in the dealer's room. So if you weren't at FC or FF and you will be at FWA, then you can come buy some Fur Planet stuff. I will have lots of stuff. I've got Ringtail Cafe on one side of me and Cog on the other side of me, so I'm surrounded by friends. and Kyle's going to be there as well, so he'll be doing some signing at my table at FWA. So bring your Kyle Gold books, buy your Kyle Gold books. He'll be there. We'll have him signing. He and I are also going to do a podcast on Saturday night at like 10 or 11 o'clock. I forget. It's on my live journal. Called Not Sheathed.
Is it not cast? Is it unsheathed? It's neither. Both?
Or both.
I don't know.
And I don't know. I have to talk to him about it. I don't know really what we're going to talk about yet. Whether we'll talk about writing relationships, or if we'll just take questions from the audience or whatever.
Take questions from the audience and then write about them.
Yeah. We'll compose a little
swear
story.
A lot.
Yeah. I'll swear as much as possible. So no, Kyle's a classy guy. I don't want to swear too much. So that'll be fun. So yeah, come check out our podcast if you're going to be there. Come buy shit from me in the dealer's room. Back to the Furry Fiesta Con report. We sold a lot of shit in the dealer's room. We had a book release party on Friday, which went really well. My birthday was on Friday. I aged really well. We had like a... Tyrion said there was like 40 people at my birthday party.
Thank God you got the size room you did. There's a lot of people there.
I don't remember seeing that many, but he was like, no. Like, the group switched out over time because a lot of staff members were there, which was nice.
I was there for like 45 minutes. It's like, I've got to turn into a pumpkin. I've got to get up ass crack o'clock.
That was my situation too. I was like, yes, Fuzz, this was nice. You have booze and cake. And stuff.
Because it started at midnight, because I wanted to have it after, because I didn't want to miss Unsheathed live, and so we had started after that. But it was kind of nice that people were able to show up, have a relaxing time for a little while before crashing for the night and going back to staff duties the next day. So that was pretty much my weekend, you know, a couple nice dinners, some good conversations, good sales. It was a really good, successful time for us, so.
You're not going to give your con report?
I will. I was just being nice and...
Ladies first.
Yeah. don't get used to it.
No. Well, I had Fuzz sell a lot of shit in the room I was watching, which was the dealer's den.
You just sat there with your jaw dropped.
And it's
my
like,
God.
Look at him.
People buy that shit? Oh, my God.
I thought he was joking about that. No.
My two guys did their... My guys like to go and get commissions during cons.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel really weird about going up and commissioning people. And I finally, they kept trying to encourage me to do this, and I couldn't explain what I was bothered about. And finally, I put a thumb on it. I like keeping the dealer, the vendor and host relationship, and I feel kind of weird about commissioning things.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's like, the boys went nuts and kind of got a couple of commissions. And they look really neat, but I didn't actually get all that many this year because they kept trying to get me to do it. It's like, I can't. I'm sorry, guys. So I didn't get as many commissions as I did last year. It is kind of neat to hobnob. The guests of honor these years were really great to work with. We had Lucky Coyote, who is a really great gal. Just very personal, bubbly, just very nice.
Cool.
Megan Giles was there, who was really funny. When she came in late on Thursday night, she didn't do the color job for the t-shirt. She left it up to our staff artist, Mitch DLG. Well, she hadn't seen the color rendition on the shirt, so she was really nervous. It kind of sucked. So she checked in Thursday night. We brought her into registration, showed her the shirt, and she just squeed because it came out great, and there's her art looking really good on a t-shirt. And she's absolutely thrilled by that. She was really neat to do with. I did a panel with Megan Giles on fantasy anatomy. Mm-hmm. Taurus, mermaids, naga. Anytime you got to kind of make it up how two different things go together is what the panel we did together. She is really good at explaining anatomy. Mostly, I actually did a lot of panels this year. I taught one on the anatomy of flight. I taught one on the made-up anatomy. I helped our new con chair, Glass, with a recruitment drive for 2012. And then finally, I put on a tea party. And holy crap, I have to send out a shout-out to Stratosphere Tully.
Tully, yeah.
He brought his Russian spice tea blend. This is a mixture of powdered iced tea, tang, and spices, which it sounds incredibly white trash, but when you mix add hot water, it is incredibly delicious. He bought like this tang bottle of it, all pre-mixed, and he was like putting spoonfuls in people's
cups. Howdy, y'all brought my tea.
Well, what do we expect from some chick that goes around the grocery stores here saying coon boy?
So, and it's like people are like, take a look at it, do a sip, watch their eyes light up. It's like, holy crap, this is good. And they go and have second, third cups.
Sorry, I missed your tea party. Because actually, there was like a few panels that I kind of wanted to check out. But
I was surprised.
We were so busy.
I set out a whole bunch of cookies. I brought in tea. Had a couple of people stop by, drop off things. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I've brought all this stuff and nobody's going to come. And I'm like, sigh. I thought I was going to get... And then there's this mob of people show up and we were like go and steal tables out of other rooms and set up like tables and chairs, and it's like suddenly the room is full of people all sitting around talking, drinking tea and having biscuits. It's like, wow, it didn't flop. I'm happy.
Reverse flop. Awesome.
Yeah, I was really surprised. That was my big kind of, I think though, and I've mentioned this I think on the live cast, the thing that kind of made me smile was still when Lucky Kojak on Saturday offered to close the dealer's den for me.
Oh yeah, that was fun.
You were there for that, weren't you?
I was in the dealer's room. Yeah,
yeah, and he just opened up his mouth, and holy crap, the sound that came out of it!
I've never seen a dealer's room just shut the fuck up like that and just pay attention.
Everybody, you know? He Lucky Kojak, who is usually goes around with my auntie. I'm not sure his exact relationship with her, but they spent a lot of time at Collins together. He does steampunk jewelry. Mm-hmm. Apparently, he is also a tenor opera singer by trade. And he sang my dealer's den close on Saturday afternoon. He stood up on a chair because he had said, okay, next time you need to do an announcement, let me do it. Yeah, I got a good set of lungs. I'll get everybody's attention.
Like, yeah, he did.
And it's like, okay. So he 30-minute closing, gets up on a chair, and he just lets loose this incredible sound, and he sings My Dealer's Den Closed. Just the 30-minute warning, and then when he did the whole shutdown and get out, it was really... I've never seen a dealer's den just stop, turn, stare. And it was great.
Usually people are trying to like finish up their last minute shit when it's like 5 minutes till and then closing like that. But man, everyone just stopped what they were doing to listen. And it was like, everyone clapped, I remember, the last one.
Yeah.
So that was good.
It was
times.
Amazing. So, but that was the highlight of my con. From that point, Sunday was all just get ready, everything out of the hotel.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Sunday to Monday, I slept for like 12 hours. I went home that night, and I didn't wake up until like 11 o'clock in the morning, and I just slept my ass out. Then I got up and went to go help Guardian get everybody out of the hotel.
So, one quick thing about FWA. I don't have help this year, so if you're going to be around FWA late Thursday...
Booth
if
Lynch.
You want to give, no, not Booth Wench, just give me a hand, like, unloading all these boxes of books and shit like that. If anyone is available, help!
Anyway, Kent has.
Over to you, Racky.
Free Fiesta was fun. We,
okay, and that's it. On the email.
Fuck off. we had some friends come in Thursday, and I took Thursday off and Friday off and Monday off, and Sarah took just Friday and Monday off, and I picked my friends up Thursday and went and ate lunch, and I went and picked up Bulletstorm on the Xbox, and that game is aptly named.
Sounds impressive.
Is it storming bullets?
There are a lot of bullets.
Is that a sequel to Shoot 'Em Up starring Clive Owen?
That's the voice of Spike Spiegel. What's his name? Doing the voice of the main
Something
character.
Something like that, yeah. And, it was fucked up. I've never had a game call me a cockbag before. But
really?
Oh, yeah.
She's gonna kill your dick.
Yeah. Shut the fuck up, you stupid bitch. Yeah, shit like that. But, so that was fun. And,
you're trying to out-Duke. before Duke comes out.
Yeah, it ain't gonna happen. Mm-hmm. So Friday, con started. We got there and...
Different Duke. Okay, I get it now.
Yes, Duke Nukem. And, you know, with the... We just kind of chilled and had a, you know, just went around the con having fun, meeting up with friends, and...
Everyone cycle through. There's Rucky. There's Rucky again. There's Rucky again.
Yeah. Yeah, you remember seeing me running around.
There's Sarah. There's Rucky.
And then Saturday, you know, we had same. I mean, we just really just met with people and, you know, took them to all the different places to eat around here. And, you know, and then Saturday night was not cast live and. That was a riot, and then
that was fun.
Sunday, I actually did not go to the con hotel at all. I didn't even go to the con on Sunday.
Really?
Really? My
sex was that good?
Yes, it was that good. No, my friends and I just went around, just kind of did things in Dallas and chilled at home and. Talked and played games together and just had a great time. And Monday we went to first thing we did was we drove by this the place that Sarah and I are moving to just to look, you know, at the exterior and whatnot. And mm-hmm. then we drove to North Park Mall. Actually, no, then we went to the Gayborhood, ate at Hunky's, went to
say Hunkies?
Yes, Hunkies. Oh. No, what's the tape lenders? Yeah, where they have all the naughty stuff down there. And then yeah. They went to Skivvies, and I bought a shirt with set a bear on it, and just says bear. And then Sarah bought some skimpy blue and green underwear,
which I'm sure he'll appreciate you mentioning on the show.
Oh yeah, yeah, well he's got a whole panty drawer. Yeah, but
which I appreciate you mentioning.
Did he say blue and green skimpies?
Yeah.
That's so funny.
It's like the ones in his pick.
Inappropriate.
Yes. He was just like, oh, honey, can I get this? I was just like, actually, yes.
Oh, honey, you're such a queer.
And then Douglas bought a fucking cock sock. Have you seen those?
No.
No.
A cock sock.
It's like a pair of boxers with a.
No, it's just literally just a sock for your cock.
Oh, okay.
So it's like a cock warmer. Cock cozy.
Yeah, I guess it's a tiny fennec. You know, that's what it's made out of. So, and then, then we went over to North Park Mall and went on a quest to get my friend upgraded to an iPhone 4 because they had bought someone's 3G from them, like personally bought someone's 3GS from them and added a line to an account. Well, the guy who made it fucked it up and did the contract as if he bought that 3GS new from AT&T. And so, like, when I was in their state, like, last month, they were, like, you know, rage face because they got dicked, you know. And then they went to the AT&T store here, and they were persistent and talked to the right person and got his phone and then sadly took them to the airport. So, but it was a great weekend. We had a blast. We just went all over and... A lot of great people. A lot of good things happened. I don't know. I don't know. Ever since that con, things have been. That con was good. Things have been really good for me since the con. So
that's good.
Mm-hmm. Work wise, personal wise, everything. So
yep.
Furry Fiesta is magic.
Bitchin'.
All right. So we are.
Have like to read an email.
25 minutes in, we should read an email.
All
right. Shiva, you get to start.
Oh, yay. Oh. You just want to laugh at me, don't you?
Because you're racist.
What?
Coon boy.
Subject, a breakup that just won't end. I am new, and I got referred to you through a friend of mine. Anyways, I was hoping you guys could help me or give me some advice with an issue I have. I have been dating a guy for about 4 months. He lives in Australia, and I live in the U.S. At first, I thought we could make it work, but as time went on, I got the strong feeling that I was only kidding myself. I loved him, but I felt it just wouldn't work, so I told him I wanted to break up. He was very upset about it, and rightfully so. I understood that and figured it would end, and that would be that. A few days later, he contacts me, telling me he needs and wants me back and can't live without me. I still have strong feelings for him, so, like a fool, I gave him one more shot. The decision quickly haunts me. All my fears and reasons for the breakup come back. We're too far away, we barely have time to talk, he wants to move in together, and I'm not sure I want to leave to Australia. But what strikes me the most, and I say this uncomfortably, is he's too young for that. See, I'm 21 and he's 16. I know.
Sorry.
I know you don't have to lecture on how stupid or wrong that might be, but he is very mature for his age, till the breakup at least. I took a break from my furry Facebook. That's the only way we contacted each other, so he could grieve and hopefully move on, and so could I. That was till he found my real Facebook and continued it from there. So now, for the past 4 weeks, I've been dealing with him trying to get me to go back with him, even after numerous times telling him I don't want to. I've moved on, and he won't let me go. I don't want to do anything harsh, like block him from my Facebook and just cut him off for because I fear he might do something wrong.
I was about to say, block him from your Facebook.
He feels like, yeah, I'm the only person for him, and I know he could find another. I have. Till he tried ruining that. I care about him, but this is getting ridiculous. What should I do? Respectfully, anonymous gay fur.
Block him.
Yeah.
Every 16-year-old is going to be really mature until you dump them.
Yeah.
Don't do kids drugs. Seriously, it's international. He's 16. You're 21.
Yeah.
He stalked you and he e-stalked you to find your real Facebook. That's a bit.
Yeah. Do it like, think of it this way. Displace yourself from the situation. Think of some people you know, or think of total strangers, and apply that exact thing happening to other people, and you will see how crazy it is. Sorry, Fuzz is laughing his ass off.
Yes, like, Fuzz is ruffling.
Share with the class. What is this? Everybody deserves to be treated equally. It doesn't matter if you're black or yellow or brown or normal. What the fuck?
It's what? A fail blog. Oh. Like a little picture of different children on it. It's like, oh my god.
Wow, fail blog is racist.
It is. It's like a lot of things. Racist is only part of it.
It's misogynistic.
Oh, anyway.
The sign says feminine hygiene, and it's like all the mops and brooms and shit section.
Is that true, Shiva? Is that how it works?
No.
Do you brush your teeth with a mop? I don't know. Scrub your ass with a toilet brush.
But yeah, seriously, you're going to have to cut the kid off. Can't handle it.
There is no moss.
Yeah, it's time to cut the boy off from the crazy.
How you say no more in Australian? You tell me.
Well, it's not just the fact, you know, he did e-stalk you, but you also said he's trying to ruin, you know, stuff you've got going on now. You're just going to have to cut him off. And that's going to be the only way to really end it, I don't think.
Yeah.
That's it. We're all agreed. So your turn.
My turn. Okie dokie.
Yeehaw!
Okay. This is a two-parter, two-email, meta-email of doom.
Oh. Are we going to need calculators?
It does say relationship math.
Oh, dear. Get your scratch paper.
All right. Hi, Notcast crew. I've got a question I'd like some advice on. I'm going to just jump right into it. You see, I'm trying to decide who to try and pursue a relationship with from among a couple of options, presented here in convenient list format. Yay. Option one is a female friend of mine who I used to have feelings for before we lost contact for a while. We're back in the same social circles again now, and while I don't have a major attraction to her, we get along great and she's a lot of fun. I also know now that she has a crush on me too, but from before we lost contact, and as we've begun to hang out more again, I have felt some of my old feelings surface. Number two is a guy I was introduced to about a month ago. Just to clear this up, I'm a bi male. He is outgoing, friendly, and kind. Also, I've been told by him he's interested in dating. Problem is, I'm never at ease around him. Not to say he makes me nervous, but rather I'm never sure of myself around him. I think I'm tense because I'm not used to the type of attention he gives. It's very straightforward and makes me feel like I'm on stage, on the center of focus. Choice 3 is a male friend of mine who is, for all intents and purposes, my perfect guy. I'll spare you the details, but we get along great and I never tire of being with him. Additionally, over the last couple weeks, he's been trying to do what appears to be asking me if I'm gay and saying he has feelings for me without outright saying it. I'm only out to a few select people at this point, and I haven't been alone with him for a good time to tell him I'm bi. I could just be reading too much into a few incidents, though. He has had a girlfriend in the past, after all. He never seemed that interested in her, but that doesn't mean too much. Anyways, that's it. Sorry again for the messed up email. Send Levy the Lion. So, behind door number one, we have a chick who has a crush on him and he's felt some feelings for. Step number two is a really outgoing gay guy he only met about a month ago who he doesn't know too well and makes him nervous in a way. Step three is the perfect gay.
Well, perfect guy.
Well.
That he doesn't know whether he's gay or bi or straight.
No, actually, the other guy is gay.
No, the third one he doesn't know.
Oh. Well, shoot.
He thinks...
'Tis a conundrum.
He might be. He's been getting some hints and some side comments that makes him really wonder.
I'm automatically eliminating option number two just because the writer said that the guy makes him nervous. It seems to be, like, a little overpowering.
Yeah.
You know, you might have a future with that guy, but if you're already kind of like, oh, this guy kind of is coming on really, really strong, you know, I wouldn't go for that, but well, that's just me.
It could be, like,
that whole nervous.
Butterflies, because you're nervous because he really likes him or something. I don't know. Maybe he doesn't. It just, he's got to really evaluate how he feels about each of these individuals.
Yeah. We'll see. There's always option D. Which, you know, 1, 2, 3, D, you know.
Divorce.
No.
It's called... Well, she should definitely be divorced first before he...
Go hang out with each of them and see which one you click with.
Option D, date.
Yeah.
Mm. You know.
Oh, that D.
Yes.
Option D, douche. Fuck all three of them and not tell them.
No. Don't do that.
That's the buzz answer.
You know, see, that's the nice thing about relationships is you don't have to nail yourself down right away. I think, you know, maybe you could date this chick, see how that goes, see how you feel about her if you spend time around him. But maybe you can talk to this other guy and be like, what's up, I'm gay, I want to rub dicks, you know, and see how that goes.
Is that how gay guys pick each other up and... Normalize.
If they touch dicks, it automatically means they're gay. It's balls. Wait, I don't know.
I'm pretty sure if your dicks touch, you're probably gay.
in any event, I mean,
we were just comparing size, bro.
Now you've made it weird.
Shiva, do you want to touch dicks with me?
That would be challenging.
Doesn't that sound reasonable?
What, if they touch dicks, they're gay? Yeah. That's very fucking reasonable.
Yeah. If you play penis sword, you're pretty gay.
The dating.
Oh, the dating?
That's very reasonable.
Yeah, that is very reasonable.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially if it ends in penis swords.
Even it's with two-hander.
Especially with the girl.
If Titan's grip and you wield two at once.
I mean, you're into that, Fuzz. I mean, if she wants to peg him, then... This guy's probably like, what the fuck?
This isn't what I asked.
Well, in all honesty, I, you know, date one and three and see...
Just hang out with them kind of casually and... See if anything develops. And, I mean, I don't know whether you're, like, 50-50 bi or whether, you know, you're like, hardcore one way or another, you know?
Yeah.
It's
I mean, the more sure bet is the chick, because you know that she has a crush on you.
Yeah.
She's been there, you've known her for a while.
I would be leaning towards the chick, I think, in this case, just because you guys have been friends, and that's like a really solid foundation for any relationship is to be friends with your significant other. But and I don't. Does the third guy, has he known him long? Because I know the middle guy said he's only known him about a month.
It doesn't really say, but I think he's known him in the past, so he's had girlfriends in the past, so he's known him a while.
Okay,
I mean, go with both. find out if the other dude's bi or whatever, but the chick might be the better option.
I'm saying one or three, leaning towards one.
There you go. I would say go on, you know, hang out with each and see where it blooms. You know, go hang out with a girl, go hang out with either guy, see... It's not so much a matter of pursue as develop. You know, you can go up and do you want a date? Or you can just go hang out, and after a little while, if it seems like, you know, hey, we're becoming an item, that's when you kind of ask that question. But you don't do that before you even really have started going out and hanging out together one-on-one.
Also, some sage advice. Just make sure you know, get to know these people before you start dating any of them. I mean, I know you know the girl and all that, but I guess what I'm trying to allude to is don't
accidentally stick your dick in crazy.
Yeah, that always. But I've seen a lot of cases where guys who claim that they're bi, I'm not challenging your sexuality at all, will date a girl, really want the dick, and dump the girl and go after a guy. And that shatters. I'm not speaking for every female, but there are a lot of girls that just shatters them.
Well,
so.
It's also a big thing in the lesbian community to have an ex leave you and then date a guy. Or
oh, I bet, man.
Yeah,
lesbians scare the fuck out of me. I'm sorry.
No, it's I don't know what it is, but for some people, it does kind of hit them harder if you leave them entirely for the other sex.
Yeah, it makes you feel like you did something. You know, so. Even though it's usually not the case.
Yeah, because I mean, I kind of look at it as well. It wasn't anything I did. Clearly, they wanted pussy, and I didn't have one.
Right, but, you know, not everyone thinks that rational when they're going through a breakup.
They think that there's some kind of failure of a man, failure of a woman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They are so unattractive that someone would rather have someone of the other sex than them.
Right.
I'm very lucky in that both of my guys kind of understand that I really like girls, and it's nothing against them, but they've each had to face that with me. Of that's the way I am, and they're the exceptions, not the rule.
Yeah.
So.
Right. Well, it's like Sarah and I, like, you know, a long time ago, I was just like, ew, boobies. And just over time, there are some girls, specific types of girls that I'm attracted to. I played poker in Oklahoma last night. The dealer that we were, you know, I haven't seen a chick that I wanted to fuck in a very, very long time. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to do nasty things to her. Sarah's the same way. We're both bi with a preference to men, but we both know that there are some girls out there that, you know, we both kind of like the, you know, non-arrogant, nerdy types. So
it's very weird for me. It's like it's so unusual for me to be attracted to a guy. You know, just out of the blue, you know, you know how people talk about movie stars that they would, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. It's like I can name off actress. It's like, guys, about the only one that really gets me going is Vin Diesel and somewhat Bruce Willis.
I thought you were going to say Campbell.
Some with them, but more Willis. Okay. And that's about it. I mean, I can name off a ton of actresses, or at least name that girl in that movie. Whereas guys, it's just like, yeah, I guess. So.
Yet you've got two guys.
I know. That is the irony of my
that's
life.
That's bizarre.
But then again, look at the two
guys.
I want
those fucking shoes.
But you guys have both met my guys. They're not the most... macho guy.
Saverin pulled up Nikes with Bowser on them. Just FYI for the
listeners. So that out of context.
that sounds fucking retarded out of nowhere. Sense. The fuck is Reki talking about? God, professionals.
No, it's just distraction. So anyway, that's the end of.
So Fuzz, shoot an email.
Oh right,
email.
Yeah, we do that on this show occasionally.
Paper Russell.
The patented Paper Russell.
PaperRussell.com. Yeah, somebody complimented us a couple years ago about our paper wrestling. Excuse me. Off-topic discussion, GOH dinners. Hey guys, I had a really quick question for you. I'm going to Rainforest again this year, and I was debating whether I should get a ticket for the Guest of Honor dinner with Tani DeReal. So what are GOH dinners like? What goes on? What do you do besides eat? What do you talk about? Basically, what is so awesome about them, and why should I go? Thanks for the help, guys, and keep the cocks hard. Zarek Amory. P.S. I'm glad to hear... P.S. I'm glad to hear Reki's sexy voice again. Welcome back, hon.
No, thank you.
Shiva raises... Mark. Yeah, another Mark and a Reki column. Which I wish we were actually keeping track. It'd be funny if we were, but...
You okay. have negative points.
So, what goes on at a GOH dinner?
I've Should only been go? To one, and that was the one I was at GOH at.
Yeah, so we might be a little biased in that.
Okay, so ours was at OklaCon, and they do theirs differently than most other cons.
Yeah, it's it depends how many super sponsors you have that are going to it. But usually it's a pretty good meal. I mean, usually, typical so Rainforest, it's a hotel convention, so it'll be in a hotel restaurant. It'll either be a catered thing with a choice of, like, two or three things, or it'll be a buffet with a shitload of food. It's usually pretty decent food, and, you know, I don't know, you may or may not get to actually, I wouldn't go to really talk with or meet the Guest of Honor, because they usually have GOH panels where you meet the Guest of Honor, and it's like a Q&A, and she'll have a dealer's table, and you'll be able to walk up and talk to her and get a sketch and stuff like that, I'm assuming. You know, at dinner, there's going to be, like, two Guests of Honor. It'll be Tani DeReal and Alan Dean Foster as the writing Guest of Honor this year, which is, by the way, pretty fucking impressive. So there's two of them, and there might be, like, 50 of the... you guys, the super sponsors that are there. So I don't really think it's like a good opportunity unless you're lucky enough to happen to be seated at the big table with the GOHs, because it's not going to be one huge table with everybody. And even if it was, they might be at one end and you might be at the other.
I mean, yeah.
Well, because like when we did ours, I actually kind of brain farted because they did do a GOH, they did the soiree, which had all the wine and cheese on Friday night, but they also had the dinner
on Saturday.
A-Frame 1 with the beef Wellington and all this other...
Yeah.
It's amazing. Everything was made by hand there. It was godlike.
I don't recall right now. He said whether he should buy a ticket, because I think at Rainforest you can buy certain things kind of a la carte in their registration system, so they might be able to get like a regular or a sponsor thing and then buy a ticket to the super sponsor. Honestly, unless you just want a good meal... me personally, I probably wouldn't go. I would say totally promote the con and go super sponsor to help the con out. You do get cool swag beyond the dinner, and it does help the con out, especially if you pre-register. But if you're just buying a ticket for the dinner...
With a chance of seeing Tani?
When you can walk up to her dealer's table and see her, or one of the art panels she'll probably be hosting... I wouldn't necessarily put a priority on the dinner, but that's just me, you guys' opinions.
And now, depending on it, I'd be tempted to, but that's because I'm a big Tani fan, and it would be kind of, if I got another chance to meet her, I don't know. I'd be seriously tempted myself. I don't know if I'd do it, but I'd think real long and hard about it. So, but that's me.
I don't really have an opinion to offer on the matter.
Have you been to a Guest of Honor dinner for...
No, I don't. I just do regular registration every con I go to.
Okay.
That's about the same to me. You know, I mean, I admit, OklaCon is awesome enough that if I went to OklaCon again, I'd want a super sponsor.
Mm-hmm.
Because, well, one, I like the con staff, and two, it's an awesome, awesome dinner. Plus, the soiree is... I hear is kick-ass from the Fennec who drank a million glasses of wine.
Mm-hmm. It was amazing.
Yeah, so, yeah. I've already super sponsored for OklaCon.
I just don't know if I can get the time off.
And email Ryder, totally. Come by and see me again at the in the dealer's room, because I'm confirmed for Planet. We'll have two dealer's tables at Rainforest this year.
Yay.
I'm already registered, already got my hotel all set. So
have you set up your shipping for your stuff yet?
Nah, that'll be that'll be right before the con. But yeah, everything else is good to go.
Okay.
So I guess if Saverin, you don't want to chime in on that, and we can move on to Ricky.
Go ahead, Ricky.
Okay.
Hey guys, if nothing else, this will be your emo letter of the week. Oh, great. Well, the subject is it's a madhouse. I'm going to try hard not to come off as a whiny bitch, but I think I might. Advanced apologies. Let me set the stage a bit here. I'm 17 and live on Florida's coast, which means that I've never had to deal with country fried... I've never had to deal with, I'm going to say, I guess with, country fried hicks, and I'm tolerant of most people. I found the fandom 2 years ago and fell in love with it, and it's really the first hobby I've ever had other than video games and writing. However, the fandom has also brought a lot of pain to me. Well, it has to everybody. We bring the enthusiastic new fag I was 2 years ago. Or me being the enthusiastic new fag I was 2 years ago, I asked my mother to get me a copy of Kyle Gold's Waterways novel. So she did, under the condition that she read it. I read it twice, she read it, and proceeded to throw a hissy fit about the minute amount of sex and hide the book in some dusty corner of the house that I still have yet to find. We've gone back and forth about this issue for years, and it's most recently come to a head a few weeks back when she, by pure accident, found my stash of pictures. My parents abhor the fandom, and I'm pretty sure because for most part they've seen is a porn. In my opinion, that's one of the best things about it, but I digress. I want to make a hobby out of writing for the fandom. Erotic works more likely than not. In the heat of arguments, it's come up and my parents hate it, says it wastes my talents. I don't think it does. I've mostly given up all hopes of trying to make them understand my love for animal people, but some part of me wants to take one last crack at it. Any ideas on how to make them get it? I do have another brief question. I don't want to beat around the bush. I have major self-image issues. I'm 6 foot and solid 210 pounds. A little pudgy, which people say is perfectly fine, but in this world where men, gay or straight, portrayed these freaking gods has really hurt my picture of myself. What's worse, I think my constant fretting is damaging my relationship with my girlfriend of 9 months now. I was wondering if you had any inspiring stories or rants that you could share to make people like me feel better, because I'm pretty sure I'm not the only one. Thanks, guys. Ravenwood. Well, I've got two things to say about it. Should I just go ahead?
Go ahead.
All right. First of all, the whole thing with your parents and furry. Fuck it. You're 17. That means you are...
red bed still.
Yes, but you will soon be legal to do whatever the fuck you want.
Maybe not underneath their roof.
But, yeah, and you need to... If your parents and you are not getting along very well... and they are, as you seem to imply here, stifling your creativity, then it sounds like you just, you know, whenever you turn 18, you need to get a good case of the GTFO. So I can tell you right now that if your parents are going to freak out over something like this and, you know, hide a fucking book from you, sit here and not listen to you.
I mean, Waterways is pretty tame.
Yeah. If they're gonna do shit like that, dude, more likely than not, they're gonna do other things beyond the age of 18 to, you know,
control your life.
Yeah. So honestly, if your parents are that fucking stupid, just leave when you can. You know, when it's legal
And when it's comfortable too.
Yeah.
I mean, but,
well, that's part of when you can. You know.
Well, yeah.
So, because if you're not going to be comfortable, if you don't have a place to go, if your life's going to suck, then you can't leave, you know, otherwise. So that's pretty much my opinion of that. You know, your parents need to take a back burner if that's the kind of people they are. But, the whole thing with your self-image, when I was younger, I had a lot of self-image problems.
It's part of being a teenager.
Yeah. I mean, I thought I was just... I don't know, I just didn't like how I looked or anything, and...
Well, you are a grotesque beast of a man.
Yes, thank you. Well, no. See, but now I like that.
part Koopa, part German Shepherd.
All yes. Penis.
Yes.
Full of rar.
I'm not gonna lie, it's taken a while, but over time I grew to appreciate myself, my body, and just, you're gonna find somebody if you, you know, you got this, you got this girlfriend now. If she's staying with you, and if she continues to stay with you, then trust me, especially if it's a girl. No offense to girls, but if she doesn't like how you look, most likely not gonna stay around.
Because I've known some fickle twinks.
That's because they're twinks. Twinks.
Oh, well, yeah. But seriously, I
break them in half and eat them.
Most girls I know, and that's not meaning in the furry fandom, so Shiva.
I look at you sideways like.
Yeah. God damn, you don't apply to anything I say about women. You are an anomaly. But
thank you, I think.
A lot of straight women that I work with, that I knew from school, that I've just run into, they've got this eye on guys, like, okay, I'm gonna marry this dude, I'm gonna have kids with this dude, all this, you know. So if she, you know, if there is something about you that she doesn't like, you know, and she hasn't pinpointed on that and let it consume her, then, you know, most likely you have a good thing then. But I will tell you, if there is one thing a girl absolutely doesn't like about you, then, you know, she'll focus on it. In my opinion, my interactions, I'm not speaking for every woman, but a lot of the girls that I have met, they...
So if she gets on this guy about, you know, chewing his toenails, that might be a greater concern than if he's a little bit pudgy.
That's kind of gross. But I'm just saying, I think girls focus on shit. That I think they focus, and this goes, and I know you were just joking, this goes for those little faggoty twinks too. Uh-huh. No offense. Fickle ass girls and fickle ass twinks. There you go.
Ones that are kind of caught up in image.
Yes. Yeah. And those two people, girls and twinks, are usually the ones that are caught up in image.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've never had to worry about it, I guess. Well, not well. Well, okay. I'm thinking of the stereotypical pretty girls,
who are often as more concerned about it and anal about it than you would ever imagine.
More anal about it than twinks? That's not possible.
Okay. Well, it's usually those girls who are bulimic and anorexic and sit there and fuss and worry themselves that they're not pretty enough.
Right.
So they're the ones that the fashion mags are all pandering to and make them even more insecure. And that's kind of where the focus comes back around, you know.
So. Basically what I'm saying, if your chick is not this self-righteous, you know, image-concerned bitch, then I think you've got something good going on.
Yeah.
Because not trying to be a misogynistic male.
And seriously, she tells you to shut the fuck up about it. Shut the fuck up about it. Yeah. Because you're going to piss her off.
Yeah. I'm trying to be nice to you. God damn it.
you don't sound like you're with someone who is so focused on image that they're fickle as shit. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. And anything else you guys want to add to that, feel free.
Let's just keep moving.
All right. Okay. Good. I'm glad I nailed it on the head.
Subject. General what the fuckery.
That's so creative.
So I've been doing my reading and I've come across something that I found absolutely appalling. As it turns out, here in the snowy north, he doesn't say where, Catholic school boards, we have two, public and Catholic, goes back to some history, to the French, yada yada, and it's in the Constitution, can legally fire gay teachers because it conflicts with the teaching of the church. I'm going to guess he's in Montreal. Now, understand that many of these stories come on the heels of the recent SEC, Supreme Court of Canada, that people who perform legalization of marriage ceremonies, like Justice of the Peace, are not allowed to refuse to perform same-sex marriage based on religious grounds. I just wonder what your input on this is, as it seems like we grant them special powers of discrimination under certain circumstances, but not others. Understand that my frustration with this is being gay atheist military nurse and just in general decent human being. It seems that somewhere along the lines we have said, if you're religious, it's okay to be a giant fucking asshole who infringes on the rights of others in the name of your giant sky pimp. Quite frankly, fuck that shit. I believe that even though my freedom to religion is in the Constitution, it shouldn't trump my right to live as a normal fucking life. and I hopefully for any future children I have to leave a normal fucking life. Anyways, love to hear what you guys have to say. TTFN, Jeffrey Wolf. P.S. You guys should actually go off on more tangents. I enjoy them immensely.
Okay, well, this actually is kind of straightforward, kind of not. The Catholic schools of Montreal, I believe they're still run by mandate on the government, but they are Catholic schools. They are run under the auspices of the papacy. And they, on that, you know, they seem to have that right. Private schools in the U.S. can do the same thing. Whereas Canada is a far more advanced society, and they're like...
They're from the future.
They're from the future.
It's because they have an Atlantic time zone that doesn't exist in the U.S. So there are parts of Canada that can exist an hour in the future, and Americans, if they tried to follow, would die. Because our Atlantic time zone is in the water.
But JPs are working for the government.
Mm-hmm.
And the government's like, gays can get married.
Yeah.
They put on their sunglasses and cross their arms and like
deal with it. It's because it's a civil one and not a religious one.
Mm-hmm.
Just like in civil schools.
So like public schools, they wouldn't do that. But in private religious schools, even if they receive government funding, which is icky,
mm-hmm.
but that's how they roll up there if it's in Montreal.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, that's how it rolls.
It's basically assumed that if you've got your child in a Catholic school, then you want them taught underneath the Catholic principles, which is, unfortunately, that being gay is a sin, which means that you should accept this teaching, and if you're a gay teacher, you shouldn't just even be there.
Yeah. Plus, there's the whole, you know, civil marriage versus marriage in a church. Civil marriage exists no matter where you get married, as long as you're married.
Yeah.
But religious marriage is done in a church. The state will marry gay people, but you can't force a church to marry gay people.
Right, and I'm fine with that.
Yes. Yeah, me too.
A lot of people have this, are spreading this fear that gays are going to force churches and private institutions
which
to
is gay
marry people, which is stupid because I don't want anything to do with a church in my marriage. And if I did, I wouldn't go to one where the guy officiating it
didn't welcome it, you.
Didn't want to do it because I don't want to have a really important day of my life, you know, done by somebody that hates me for who I am.
Oh, God, I know you did not bless this, so let these faggots know that even though they're married in the sight of government,
you may now kiss the sinner.
You're not married in the eyes of God, and he will throw you into the fiery pit where you will be sodomized by angels with pitchforks that spew acid.
The angels and pitchforks spew acid.
If I was going... the thing is, though, if I wanted a religious ceremony for gay marriage, there are plenty of religious organizations that don't have a stick up their ass.
Hell, even here in Dallas, I know of at least three places right off the fucking bat that you can
get I know there's the Universalists, there's like a whole half of the Episcopalian Church.
Cathedral of Hope out here in Dallas.
You mm-hmm. could also go out to Smod Castle and get smarried.
Married?
Yes, Kevin Smith got himself ordained so he can perform marriages at his podcast theater.
Zap?
And Zap. Zap got ordained too. He can perform marriages.
Oh, God. Yeah, you could get married by Zap.
With the awesome think about British that. Accent.
It could be like a cottage tourism. Get married by Zap.
Yeah. We should talk to him about that, hiring him out.
For his his voice alone, he would be an awesome... You know,
it would be
you spend all your days yiffing and scritching and whatever you're doing.
I read a report recently that polled the support of gay marriage in the United States. And for the first time in U.S. history, the country is dead center split on it, which is a huge shift even from 2008.
You know, old fuckers need to die and
they're dying.
They're dying. So there we go.
Awesome.
You know. They're trying to shit it up as before they die, but they lose.
Eventually. And most of these surveys are done by phone, and most younger people don't have landlines. Mm-hmm. So that's an even better indication. So
yeah,
that's very true.
So, all right. Next email, we'll go to break.
Okay.
All right. This one's a massive wall of text, so I hope we can handle it.
Okay.
Very important question. Dear Notcast.
I have a very important question to ask all of you. What do you think of the new My Little Pony cartoon and the huge influence it's had on the fandom? Thanks for your time. Genesis. Well, I normally don't watch cartoons for little girls, but when I do, it's My Little Pony.
I feel bad. I was such a pony addict as a kid, and I haven't watched any of the new stuff.
The most amazing fennec in the world.
It looks like some weird mix of My Little Pony meets Powerpuff Girls.
That's because it's done by Lauren Faust, the person who did Powerpuff Girls and Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends.
Okay, that explains everything.
It is a show for little girls, but it is sufficiently clever, and there's plenty of, innuendo.
All I know is F.A. is full of My Little Ponies lately.
The only thing I know is that there is a little pony with an hourglass on his flank that people are calling Dr. Hoof. And he has tenant hair. Yeah. Or tenant mane, I guess. And so people keep linking me to fan art pictures of Saturn was showing me one earlier where it had the Vortosaurus from Father's Day in it, and there's a little blue hut in the background, and it's
it said police barn.
Did it? Close to your monitor, I didn't see that.
And
I haven't watched it.
I know I have to see the one.
It's all over YouTube.
He played a little clip of it earlier, and it looks cute. It looks amusing. I don't have time to watch much TV lately, so I haven't been watching.
Especially not little girl cartoons.
Yeah, it's not something I would think.
It's one of those things that was all over the comics and cartoon board.
Excuse me.
And I was the fuck is this?
Yeah.
I watched an episode and was like, okay, this is kind of cute.
It's kind of Pokemon back in the day where I was all like, oh, what the fuck? And then my buddy went upstairs on break and watched an episode and was like, dude, you've got to go watch it. It's amazing. And then I watched it and then we were big fans.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with that.
In our 20s, working retail, and we'd start taking break at the same time and leaving the department mostly uncovered and turn off,
be like, bitch, it's 3:30, time for Pokemon.
No, the Oprah and Springer fans hated us because, it was either, I think it was Oprah was on at 4 o'clock. So if my best friend and I were in the break room sitting there eating lunch, leaning back on the chairs watching Pokemon, they couldn't turn it to Oprah.
Fuck Oprah, I'm watching cartoons.
Yeah, damn, bitch, we got our tunes to watch here.
Was that when the first season was airing, or?
Yeah, this was in the 90s.
Pokemon's been around for fucking ever.
This was 97, 98, something like that.
Oh, God, is it really that old?
Dude, it came out in 95.
Yeah.
The first game was in 96.
So this was the first couple years of the cartoon series.
Are you feeling old?
Pokemon has been around longer than some children have been alive.
Shit, I was 13. No, I was 12.
In a couple years, people who grew up watching Pokemon will be legal. From season one.
Wow.
Just think about that.
They could get a BDSM relationship and be the greatest master of them all.
Oh.
Yes, use Vine Whip on me. Ah.
Oh. BDSM Pokemon, Rule 34.
There have been these interesting submissions I've seen on FA of people having the three-tiered evolutionary levels, their characters done up as Pokemon.
Oh, okay.
It's been really cool. It's drawn very well.
Considering that Black and White just came out, it's another rip phase of Pokemania.
I'm just saying it was a cool concept.
Yeah. Well, what's interesting is that supposedly this game is a proper new game for once instead of all rehashing.
Yeah. So, I want to get a 3DS.
Oh, God. I'm waiting for that one. It's not coming out yet. They're going to have them for play at PAX, but,
Acacia's gonna,
we won't see those for a while.
I'm sure.
So,
now I'm wondering what, the different evolutions of my character would be as a Pokemon.
The first one is Tom Baker. Second one is Peter Davidson.
No.
No.
Third one is Tenet. Like human baby to furry.
God. mine would be interesting.
Yours would be yours would have to
you've
be like
already
a fucking,
done it.
You have to be a fucking Eevee. You start out as a shepherd, as a husky, but then you can go to be a Rue or a Chevy or a Rue Chevy.
I thought about actually throwing a bunch of commissions into a photo editor and making kind of a timeline or something.
Mm-hmm. God.
In 2004.
But you know how I've got my character drawn as a baby fur every now and then. A friend of mine suggested having the Koopa Shep drawn up in the style of one of the Koopa kids from Mario Brothers 3.
Oh, now that would be
fucking amazing.
That would be amusing. So, now that we've had a Pokemon tangent, we're going to go to music break,
Yay. Which
is the opening two tracks from Pokemon, the Missing No Tracks, by OFT Remix. Enjoy. It's Pokemon music.
And that looks like a Pokemon on your screen.
It kind of does. Like what I'm looking at Pokemon. Here is the Adam and Eve Kaiden's Frosted Ice Silicone P-Spot Plug. It is...
What's its special Pokemon power?
apparently it is a ice tentacle type. ice water, perhaps. Maybe like a Dragonair.
It's like white with blue knobblies.
Dragonair is a Digimon. Bitch.
Dragonair.
Oh, I thought you
There's
said...
There's a difference.
I'm sorry, I thought you said, like, Dragonair, and I was like, I don't think that's his powers.
No, what it is...
One of these things is cuter than the other.
What is it, Savern?
Anyways...
Where do you put it?
In your butt.
Awesome.
It is a clear... Or it's a milky white silicone toy with blue knobbly bits. And you
that
shove
just
it up your butt.
Sounds like something you shove up your butt.
So it's cum color.
And it's textured. So that it you put water based lube on it and it just sticks to it.
I want one up my butt right now.
There you go. Right now it is $34.95, but if you use our coupon KNOT, KNOT, you get 50% off one item, three free DVDs and a mystery gift, and free shipping.
Awesome.
How much is that?
$34.95.
And you get how much off?
Half off.
Wow, what a bargain, Recky, by using our coupon code KNOT.
Actually, people have been buying a lot of dongs recently. It's pretty nice.
V-Day just passed. Can you zoom in on that, Saverin? I want to see exactly how knobbly that is.
Does it come with a Pokeball?
No, afraid not.
Rip off.
Actually, that is kind of an impressive looking...
Yeah, it's 4 inches tall, an inch and a half wide... Flexible silicone butt plug comes super slippery with just a little lube. Frosted ice texture holds onto lube and feels wonderful going in and out. T-bar base means more control and easy removal after you've had another incredible prostate orgasm. P.S. Ladies enjoy curved plugs too. But we know our audience. It goes in butts.
It's all about the prostate.
I'll be honest. I haven't in a long time. Like, years. So...
Well, that looks like a good one to start with because it gets super slippery with just a little lube.
Yes.
Only use water-based. So, on that note, we should go back to emails.
Bugs. Yeah, it's my
I'm
turn.
I'm the top. Anyway.
Okay. I am.
You can get it for Sarah.
Sarah would want to get that for me so I can get used to something again.
Well, you could get used to that and then fuck Sarah. Because I hear having something jamming on your prostate while you're fucking your boyfriend is hot.
Just sounds nice.
And you'll come like a geyser. In fact, you'll fuck him and it'll like shoot out his mouth.
He would probably get off on that anyway.
That's your next commission. He'll be vomiting gallons of cum. Like,
actually,
okay, let's segue away from that.
I use screaming orgasm. It's super effective. Okay, subject line. From the middle of fucking nowhere. Dear Notcast, I am a straight snow leopard from Anchorage, Alaska. Oh. Finally, somebody with a species appropriate to the climate they are living in. I am whiting in to ask for some help.
Whiting in?
W-I-G-H-T-I-N-G.
Okay.
Unlike a lot of the fandom, I have already met quite a few furs in my area, and have explained the fandom to my parents. As millions of relationship talk shows across the country get the same opening line, you see, there's this girl, I hate to say that I must start off this letter in a slightly different way. As I sit here and listen to you butcher Alaska's description, I have to ask... You see, there's not this girl or this guy that I'm interested in. It's like I'm interested in nobody. I have friends who are girls and who are guys, but I'm... Sorry, misaligned it. But I'm really looking toward a relationship, and I don't know what to do. Can you help me? Sorry for the hedge of text, which appropriate. Sandfire. P.S. That guy who wrote in about his animal fucking love has a serious problem. I love animals in a platonic sense, but physical is just wrong. Also, I've been a listener since episode 46, so there. So, he's not interested in, and it's like he's interested in nobody, but he's looking towards having a relationship.
Okay. Did you say he was straight?
Yes.
Okay.
So, you haven't found a chick that turns your crank yet?
Yeah, that's no big deal, I mean.
I mean, admittedly, living in Alaska, I'm sure the pool is not as large as you'd like. You know, with everybody getting eaten by polar bears and all the penguin attacks.
Yeah.
And the moose.
And 9 out of 10 women are related to Sarah Palin, so.
Wait, what? Okay, he's not a wolf species. He's not getting shot from the sky.
No. He'll be fine.
And he blends in.
He blends in. Then gets run over.
Will it blend? Yes.
This week, straight snow leopards.
It's okay, dude. I don't think he said how old he was. It does happen. Some people, like I've said about myself sometimes, some people are late bloomers. I don't know how old you are. Hopefully you're not 50, since I'm saying it like that. But, like, I was just uninterested in relationships and was kind of a loner for quite a while. And didn't really start even dating till, you know, early to mid-20s. Most, like, 23. So, yeah. Sometimes it just takes a while for you to meet someone that you're interested in. And even if, like, you know, when, like, gay people will say, I knew I was different because I wasn't attracted to what other guys were attracted to. Well, even though you're straight, you might just not be attracted to what people are expected to be attracted to. Because I talked to this dude at work at my old job that this woman walked by, and she was, like, really tall. Imagine, like Bridget Nielsen if she had long hair and was, like, super attractive. But she was, like, really stacked. And it was, like, this image of this, like, blonde Amazonian kind of women. And this guy was, like, just so over-the-board hetero that he just stood up with his jaw hanging open. It's like, how can you not possibly be attracted to that? And, like, I don't know, just expect me, like, just jump up and try to hump her, like, right then and there. And it's like, but I'm not... Even the women I am attracted to, I'm not attracted to that type of woman.
Right.
You know? So maybe you're not attracted to what people would expect you to be attracted to. And you just haven't fallen in and met that person that just clicks your particular gears.
Yeah.
I mean, when I was in high school, which again, it was a very small pool, there was only of a couple hundred kids, only a couple that really I even were vaguely interested in, you know, and even then it was just kind of like shrug, you know, I was more interested in getting to know them, I guess you'd say, more than a relationship. I didn't have a prayer for anyone of the girls I was interested in to ever want to go out with me, but it can take a while to really find that person who you really want to get into a relationship with.
Yeah.
It's nothing wrong. I think it's just probably a matter of selection.
Well, like Fuzz was saying, don't expect to be attracted to the stereotypical, you know, hot bitch, you know what I mean?
You could say attractive female.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to say attractive female because I don't think that is an attractive female to me personally. But like, what I mean is, like, the stereotypical skinny Playboy cover magazine type of chick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you might not like that, you know, you don't know, but...
Yeah.
So, like, I don't like, my mom, when I told her I was gay when I was younger, she thought that I was going to date, like, oh my god, the gayest guy in the world! And I fucking hate flamers in that department, so I just don't like them like that. I don't find that attractive at all on any sense of, on any level. And then, but Sarah is like not the,
no.
You know, he's not the flamey queenie type or anything like that. And when my parents met him, they were like, oh, thank God.
And, so. I've made this comment about the local crowd that we have. A lot of the folks that we have are not terribly flamey. We've got a couple. But for the most part, not a lot of people meet the typical stereotype. Not at all.
Yeah.
And I've known the queens, and I've known just the average Joes, and there's a place for each.
Yeah, to each his own. And that goes for you, too, because, like we've been saying, you might not be the stereotypical chick you're after. You might like them nerdy. That's how I like girls.
Yeah, I like kind of nerdy.
Nerdy with pretty hair. That like sounds kind of creepy, doesn't it?
No, it actually doesn't. I like ones that can think. I don't like the airheads. Mm-hmm. My type is short, blonde hair, a little bit dykey, but usually with a nerdy streak.
Yeah.
So
I like brunettes. You know, I like, remember Ezri Dax in the last season of Deep Space Nine? Mm. I would fuck her in half. She's just not.
In half. So no one else can have her afterwards. You can have half.
And I would have two of her.
Never mind. So, apparently he's going to take both halves.
That's my type. Like her and like Winona Ryder. Kind of, you know, short dark hair.
I like girls who are not taller than me. mm-hmm. who are of like a not who are like a medium build with
not skinny, not heavy, just
right. Yeah. And who are, and I don't really care for boob size, but I don't want to be able to, you know, chop bread on it. But
what the fuck does that mean?
Bitch ain't flat chested. Anyway, I don't like flat chested.
Carpenter's dream. Yeah. Flat as a board, knees in a nail.
And
oh, I like long, I hadn't heard that one before.
Long, pretty, kind of crimpy black hair and a pretty nerdy face. That's my kind of chick.
Yeah.
And
like years ago, like they had the oh god, what was that comic? Fuck. Gen 13.
Mm.
Like they had like the three main characters were these fucking massive titted super hot chicks. And then they had like the one nerdy chick that was like their computer tech support girl.
Mm.
That's the character that I like.
The nerdy tech support girl?
Yes.
Alright, I think we beat that over the head.
Oh, I got a pimp a friend of mine, actually. My neighbor at FWA, Cog, it's also known as Jason.
Oh, you got Jason next to you.
Yes.
Hell yeah, I haven't seen him in years.
He years ago did the Yif and Fervor beer glasses and tumblers that mm-hmm. I've got. So he's made a new one. It's Yif Fervor Beer. The logo is like Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Nice.
Isn't that awesome?
I haven't seen him since I forget what HACon it was.
See, well, he'll be selling these at FWA, and he'll have pints for selling for $20 and shot glasses selling for $10.
Oh, cool.
So I just thought it was neat because it looks like the PBR logo and it's Yif and Fervor.
I didn't know Jason had changed his whatever you nickname.
Yeah, it's still Jason on for Affinity,
mm-hmm.
But he goes by Cog now. Like the base of my shot glass has a little Cog symbol on it.
Oh, that's cool.
Is it my turn to read an email?
Yes, it is.
Okay. I seem to have started something. All right. Hello, Chronic Master podcasters. All right.
I thought you were going to say Chronic Masturbator.
Yeah. Marcus Noble here. I was listening to your Furry Fiesta live show, and it seems I have unintentionally started a couple of trends. First, it seems that me talking about my family being okay with me being a furry has led to several furries writing in to say that their parents are the same. It's nice to see that there are others out there who have family that thinks that furry is just another thing and not something to be afraid of. Also, it seems that me being mentioned as the WWE and Doctor Who loving skunk has started people imagining the Doctor performing various wrestling moves with the Doctor Who villains, something that I would like to see in the form of artwork, which I would myself find any talent drawing. I find this rather humorous, even though I have also listed poker and hockey among my interests in my email signature as well. Last but not least, I look forward to seeing Fuzzwolf at FWA 2011.
Huh? Oh, sorry.
Well, I do appreciate his offering of straight furry literature. I am bisexual. As such, I would be interested in purchasing most any kind of furry smut. Awesome. Especially after coming home this weekend from the Hollywood Casino in Charlestown, West Virginia, with the good amount of money I won playing a cash game in their poker room. Anyway, this email sounds so refined. Anyway, keep up the great work with the show. And as my dad always says, have fun and be safe. Marcus Noble, the hockey, poker, WWE, and Doctor Who loving skunk.
Now, Marcus needs to come to Furry Fiesta next year and take part in our charity tournament.
Yes, our charity wrestling tournament.
I played poker for the first time last night.
How did you do?
I kept trying to lose because I was tired and did not give a shit. And I kept getting all the chips back somehow.
It's like, I want to go to bed.
I wasn't trying to learn how to win. I was trying to learn how to lose so I could get the fuck out and go play, you know, on my computer in my hotel room.
And you could just take your chips and go cash out.
They were bitching if we did that. Because this was a learning experience. So I just was like, fold, fold, fold.
And I would have been like, well, you guys are learning to lose. Give me my money. I'm going to bed.
I'm
going
to be winning.
Well, my aunt fucking won. Never played poker in her life.
Good for her.
Yeah.
I wonder if sometimes people who haven't played before win because they don't know how to bluff. They don't know if they're doing bad. They're just going, yay, cards.
Yeah.
Cards are pretty.
Well, some of the men were getting like really intensive into it and just like, yeah, I'm gonna earn this shit. And I'm just like,
oh my god. Fuck the shit out of your cards.
I was like, I'm gonna go upstairs and take Second Life.
Did you say I'm gonna fuck the shit out of your cards?
Yeah. I literally did. I said boost or just like see ya bitches, and I went and played Second Life in my hotel room.
Fuck the shit out of bears.
Okay, my turn?
Yep.
Yeah. Yes.
Final round.
I guess.
Yeah, well, that's my last one.
I've still got one out
of red. Yeah, I'm the start of the final round.
Oh, okay.
Not final just, like, email, final
all
round.
All About Me, Fuzzwolf. The new novel from Fur Planet.
Just, hold on. Let's see.
An autobiography written by F.D. Dushinson.
This one we read at the live show. I don't have one. Yeah.
Oh, whoops.
Okay.
Next email.
This is the guy with the ex-wife with the kid.
Oh, God.
I tossed that one because I remembered I was reading it.
It was in my pile.
But then you showed up and I had to re-go through the pile and you mixed me all up, Shiva. It's all your fault. Anyway.
I'm crazy like that. I'm out of emails.
Okay.
Go to me.
It's already nearly 11 o'clock, so. Yes.
Read.
Hearts in need of help, please.
Okay.
Hey guys, Underdrag here, writing in after a long hiatus. Could Reiki read this? No, sorry.
I was sure I put that in Reiki's pile.
This is Fuzz Fanwing, so if you'd like to trade, I'd be glad.
No, you're totally reading that.
Suck a bag of dicks.
Sorry, he's got Fuzz Fanwing, so we had to, you know, rules and all.
I'll read them both.
Anyways. Just to update, you guys have just over 9 days of just episodes. Since finding you ages back, my total listening time exceeds 2 months.
Ugh,
I have no idea what the topic is, as FA is down. Just writing in for some advice on a broken heart this week. I just had something good going with a fur, and we seemed to be getting real close to mates, but when he told me, the guys just didn't do it for him anymore. Being a guy, this unfortunately included me. Now heartbroken, I would like to ask how to deal with this. He and I are still really great friends. Do you suggest not seeing him in friend context until my heart has healed a little? Or maybe some other way to purge him from my heart and mind? Sorry for the depressing email this week, guys. Oh, and Reiki, you owe me a growl on the podcast if you haven't done so already.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks for any and all help you may provide.
What's growl? Why do you owe him a growl?
No. There you go.
My growl. You have a
grr and a slosh.
Grr.
So,
kill yourself.
Throw getting close to someone and then being told, yeah, dude's not doing it for me anymore.
That's fucked.
That's fucked.
But it happens a lot.
Yeah. That happens, like, to potential straight relationships, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, sorry, I like dick.
But you're a guy.
It's mostly just people that are not yet comfortable with their sexuality and they thought. They're like all interested in shit when it's theoretical, you know, if it's online or we're just talking about it, or then when it's actually like, oh, you want a date, oh, you want to screw around IRL, then it's like not quite, you know.
Some people are fine with, you know, texting it, but once it starts getting into the flesh,
it starts
getting a little bit even icky.
Sometimes people are willing to fool around and stuff like that, and then as soon as you're talking serious relationship, it's, oh my god, I found religion, I have to be straight now.
That's when you take them out and kill them.
This is unfortunately a common situation because, you know, our world is such that some people are not comfortable with their sexuality. And to say it's not you, it's him, is, yeah, that's pretty accurate. I hate to give you a
cliche.
Platitude cliche like that, you know, but that's the case.
I would back off from him completely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let your heart heal, let the distance kind of grow, maybe find someone else, and then go back and say, hey, how you been?
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't announce that you were giving him the cold shoulder for a while, but definitely kind of step back.
And I know we said this before, but there are a million fish in the sea, and
if you're a gay guy looking for dudes and furry, I bet you can find some.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't know how old you are. I remember when I was like 16, 17, even 18. Like, I thought that, you know, there's this one guy was, you know, the one for me, and I wouldn't let go of that. And it was, you know, I shouldn't have done that to myself. And I was, even at that young, it was like terrible. Mm-hmm. There are tons of people. I over the years, I've met so many people, and I'm just
you have fucked so many. No.
No, well,
I've met many good men, and I've been inside of all of them.
Well, I'm just like, I've met some really great guys over the past, like, three, 4 years of my life, and, you know, actually, within the last 5 years of my life, I've met some amazing people, some, you know, people that I've found are very attractive from both a physical and emotional, you know, standpoint, are just wonderful, successful, and just... Don't get hung up on one guy. It's fucking stupid, let me tell you. Unless you, you know, both fall in love and live happily ever after, don't get hung up.
Yeah.
If they're worth it, they'll date you.
Yeah.
There you go. Okay. Pause.
All right. Most likely off topic. Well, nah. Okay. This one is basically Dear Knotcast. It has a long... breakdown of relationship math. I'm just going to skip to the layman's term section because we're running short on time here. Okay, so this guy moved from Sydney to Cairns about 3 months ago and immediately got to work obtaining some friends. Okay, I moved to Cairns, spent 3 days trying to find some friends, found some friends. 3 weeks later, I met C. I'm actually going to give them names to make it kind of easier to keep track of. So, Carrie, I guess, who I regarded as another of the group and a potential friend. Sometime after that, I noticed Y, who we'll call Yaff, Y's almost obsessiveness over Carrie. By chance, I contemplated looking at Carrie in a relationship sense. And lo and behold, I struck a chord. Problem, Yaff has been trying to get with Carrie for about 8 years or so. Meanwhile, I'm the new guy who's been around for about 3 months, and in the event of me trying to get Carrie or stealing him away from Y, I would immediately lose a large portion, if not all, of my friends. The reason I'm looking to more experienced advice on this matter is that whilst Y thinks of C as in a relationship with him already, bit preemptive, C has shown no indication, and when queried has expressed not seeing him that way. Now, I like C quite a bit, but I'm hesitant to express my feelings because I'd rather not inflict an innocent populace with drama that I know would leave me ousted. So I ask you this, Knotcast, should I express my feelings now, give Y a chance to succeed, or chalk it all up to retarded high school crap and ignore it until I know for sure it won't cause unnecessary drama or something... You decide, I don't know. From the always smiling dragon cat thing, P.S. I didn't get the joke.
I'm watching Reggie just build.
This guy has had 8 fucking years to try to get this dude to date him. Fuck this guy, man.
And fuck those furs if they're just gonna... Oh, well...
I find it impossible to believe... that there's a community of furries that are all like, no, he's gonna get him one day. No one can date this dude. I know it's been 8 years, but he'll totally date him someday. Not like the guy's full of shit.
Yeah, the furry fucking, world is not The Bachelor on rerun constantly.
Fucking date the guy.
Yeah, talk to Carrie. If Carrie's cool with you, go for it. If Y hasn't made his goddamn move by now... You know, tough shit.
Sounds like he's tried to make his move already.
Yeah, it sounds like Y is just one of these creepy fuckers that doesn't take a hint.
If Y considers himself and Carrie in a relationship, Y needs psychiatric assistance.
And why does Carrie not know about this?
Yeah, exactly. You know?
I've seen that, like, in real life. I've seen that, like, someone who's just like...
He's mine!
And this person's like, no, but, you know.
Or even just trying not to hurt the person who's like, he's mine. It's like, oh.
Well, this person's also a dick and leads 1,000 people on, but still, I've seen it, and it's really freaky.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm.
So, it's fair game. I mean, honestly.
It's been 8 years, and if if Y is the one that's got you believing that this community of people all thinks that you'll lose their friendship if you start dating a guy.
Sounds like Y is full of shit.
Yeah, Y is full of shit, dude. Just if you're interested in C, ask him out.
Get on it.
And truthfully, if a whole bunch of people turn around because you and C are happy together,
fuck them.
Yeah, basically.
Yes.
So guess what? You'll have who you want to be with, and y'all can go make friends elsewhere. Simple as that. And guess what? Just like high school, when it's all said and done, these motherfuckers won't mean shit.
Yeah. Bitches ain't shit.
Bitches ain't shit.
But hoes and tricks. Look on these nuts.
Oh, I've got this email.
Okay. Yeah. Last email of the night.
Subject.
Did you save this for last for you? For him?
Fuzzmail. Dear Fuzzwolf and others who read this. Oh, that's degrading. I thought your thou shall not kill moving and heartfelt. You wrote so beautiful, I was almost into... This makes my stomach want to jump out and go jump off a cliff. You wrote so beautiful, I was almost in tears. This was my first sex story. This is what good porn is. I will for read more. I had thought porn was all about sex, but sex is just a main interest in this story.
He's just lying back laughing this up.
I'm sorry.
I will try now to get my hand on your book and the rest of X with others.
X is the name of the anthology.
Oh, okay. Story was in. Also, I have to say, I never thought femboy were hot until that story. Hugs, Gainter the Bear from Wisconsin. Was that the one that was being read recently?
But yes, yes.
It was okay. The one that we...
So he read it. He heard it on the audiobook on the podcast feed.
So Monday, on my way out to visit a client in Louisiana, I was just like, "What the fuck is this?" And I started playing it. I was dying in the car. Because I've never heard Alex's voice before. And I was just like, okay, I have to stop laughing or Texas Highway Patrol is going to pull my ass over.
Wow.
It was good.
That's how the touching ending affected you? You laughed your ass off?
Well, I got to Bossier City before it ended because doesn't take long to get out there. But I started it when I was in Canton. So... But
for really long.
Serious. Well, from Canton to Bossier City is not enough time. So, because that's like an hour and a half.
You're reading and Fuzz is basking, and I'm wondering.
And I got a customer phone call in the middle of it, so I didn't.
Oh, okay.
You had to pause the porn.
Well, I was sitting here because the story was good, dude. But I haven't finished it, but I need to now that I'm interested. But no, I'd never heard Alex's voice before. And I was just like,
Alex Vance?
Yes.
Yes. And he read it so elegantly, and I'm just like a little fenboy's, you know, beautiful package. And, you know, I'm just like, oh my God. Just dying, laughing my ass off. And I'm like, okay, my laughs are shaking through the steering wheel. I'm going to get a nightstick up my ass as a reference to one of his other stories.
Because I was like right behind you. Nightstick at the ready.
Yes.
But, listen to the rest of the story. But thank you for writing in. I'm glad you liked the story. I got some good feedback off of that. And the audiobook, I thought, turned out really well.
It's pretty decent. I haven't heard the audiobook, but I've read the whole anthology, and it's pretty good.
Cool. Yeah, there's other good shit in there, too.
Yes.
My favorite's White Yote's story.
Which one's that?
The one with the Dalmatian that's like part cyborg.
Oh, that one's interesting too.
Yeah. I really like that one. Saverin has stopped paying attention to us.
Is he like on Facebook?
One dig.
Same thing.
He's Twittering on my face.
I'm Twittering all over your Facebook so I can friend your nice face. I don't know.
So, do we have a plan for next week?
I won't be here.
Okay, so the video game?
Oh, yeah. I'm kidding.
Fuzz Free Fiesta.
That's
so mean.
We could talk about video games a little bit because we've been threatening to do it every time this fucker's not here. And
you know, yeah, you guys have a week's notice now. You guys want to do a video game episode?
I'll try not to get strep throat this time.
Have people write in about video games.
Playing video games with furries and furry video games. And
yeah, so if you don't like video games, next week is not the episode for you.
Right.
Because in finding relationships, finding bros in video games.
You know, if we went for Sarah being a WoW nut and a first-person shooter nut,
he could be
our... Everything sans Halo, pretty much.
He's been on the show before. He's
been on the show before. He can be our token girly boy. Token female.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. See token if I can get my... Herm.
There we go.
Well, you're not a
no, I was going to say, let's see. Get game nerds. Either of my mates, especially Ake.
Yeah, I think he can go on a
game wank about Atlas for a lot while.
Ugh, Atlas.
Sarah has been playing... you know, y'all will definitely have something to come. He's been playing Minecraft and whatnot, so.
So all this and more on next week's episode, but not now, because I'm still here.
Oh, shit, you should totally see what I built in Minecraft.
Oh, we built the Fur Planet logo burning to the ground.
I could totally do that.
Too. Yeah, I know. Oh, you guys are horrible.
It's like, it's made out of wool. Fire.
Burn it in effigy. Like a fucking furry porn Ku Klux Klan burning for a planet logo on your lawn.
This is what you get for making me read all these fucking emails.
If I don't like your story and reject it, I'll leave the logo on your lawn.
Anywho,
you kicked out a furry.
Burning.
Good night.
Big balls.
And burning crosses.
No.